Welcome everybody to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott and Tim Wurzburger. Tim, my friend, we just finished our first annual Dropping the Gloves fantasy draft. How do you feel about that? How do you think you did, Tim?
I think I did excellent, and I think Yahoo agrees with me that they have a little thing where they show you the projected rankings during the draft, and I stayed atop there the whole time. So, loving my team.
I'm glad you feel so happy with your draft. It was fun. It went quick. Not that anybody cares other than the 8 fans who are joining us. We had hundreds of people who wanted to be in this, maybe even 1,000. So it worked out. We picked out 8 by random, and we just said, let's go. We did the draft. It was fun. It was my first real fantasy hockey draft, and it was hard not to just have personal preferences for people. It's like, I'm not drafting that guy. I don't like him. Like, I'm still thinking of the player in 2016, whereas the player in 2020, 21 is completely different. So I see like Drew Doughty. I'm like, man, Drew Doughty, got to get him. He's going to be unreal. But Drew Doughty's a bum this year. Apparently he's not a good fantasy hockey player. So I had to like adapt. I had to just turn off the brain for a little bit, just go strictly on Yahoo rankings. So I don't know. I'm projected to be last. My team stinks. And I had the first overall pick.
Yeah. Who'd you pick?
I took Draisaitl.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with them. But we will keep everyone up to date on what happens with this. I don't know how many people play fantasy hockey. Is it a big thing?
It is a big thing, yeah. I mean, I've been playing it for like 15 years.
So is it as big as fantasy football?
No, nothing is. No.
Okay, because I'm very good at fantasy football. I just won my league this year. I don't know if you know that, but I did. Okay. So the draft's over. The season starts next week. Now it's time to talk real hockey. The season does start next week, and things are happening. There's movers or shakers. Let's get down. We haven't had an episode this week because you went rogue and did all these fantasy stuff, and I was like, all right, I guess I got the week off. Zdeno Chara is leaving the Boston Bruins. What was your initial reaction to this? Just walk us through your emotions, Tim.
Yeah, shocked for sure. Surprised. I thought for sure he was going to stay with the Bruins. Then, of course, you know, the more it dragged on without him signing, the less likely it seemed like he was going to come here. But really, I got no indication, nor did anyone else really, who thought he was not going to come back. So it is really difficult to see him go, especially to a good team like Washington. Obviously, you wish him the best. He's done a ton for this team and this franchise and the city. So no one's mad at him. No one's upset, especially when you consider that they were the one that told him that they're moving on. They're parting ways. They want to go younger. The confusing part in all this is that they put more money into Kevin Miller, who hasn't played in like 19 months for some serious, and he's had like 4 leg surgeries during that time, than for Chara. And I get Miller's younger, but like Chara can help you right now. He doesn't have to be the Chara of old, the Norris-winning Chara, the Cup-winning Chara, to still help your team. And that's the problem. And I see the Bruins fans reacting. They're like, oh, he's nowhere near as good as he used to be. And there seems to be like this this extreme where either he's Norris-Chara or he's trash. And you can't just look at him objectively and say, okay, he's a big guy. He logs a ton of minutes, makes a smart play, and he's going to train the younger players. If he's on your second or third pairing, that's a good player to have, and he can kill penalty minutes. And he's just, because he's a Norris level guy who's come down and he's at 42 or something now, they think he's just a bad player, and he's not. So it's frustrating for that reason. I really think he should have been on the Bruins. I think he could have helped him, but wish him the best for sure.
Yeah. They had a strange offseason on the back end, because if you look at their lineup, they're still strong, but if anything last year, they were a little shaky. I know I always joked about it. They could have used another defenseman. They had a good group. So they went into the offseason. Their main goal was to try to get Krug wrapped up, right? They let him walk. They got to sign Chara. You would think. They let Chara walk. They don't bring anybody in. They're going into the season with a D-core led by Carlo and McAvoy. And after that, it's not strong. Matt Grizzlick, okay. Connor Clifton, Jeremy Lazan, Kevin Miller, like John Moore. These aren't guys who strike fear in forwards when you look at this roster. Who is their shutdown pairing? Who is going to put up points? it's a head scratcher to me what Cam Neely has done with his roster. If I'm a Bruins fan, now I'm upset. I'm ruining the final years of an unbelievable forward core that could potentially, you know, do something this year. Just, I don't know. I don't understand it. I know they had some salary cap issues. I don't know if Jeremy Jacobs stepped in and said, hey, we lost a lot of money last year. Let's cut the cap. Chara signed for the league minimum. It's not like he signed for $2 million. He signed for, what was it, $700,000?
Yeah, 85.
So, and he said in his statement when he was leaving, he's like, I talked to Cam, they're going younger. They're going to give guys a shot. Do you think Cam Neely is trying to be too much like a Bill Belichick, where he's just like, you know, I'm cutting bait now. I know what's right. Or is he just too smart for his own good? I know. I think this is a terrible move. Chara, throw him on the third pairing. Throw him up for the penalty kill. Let him, you know, mentor these young defensemen. You lost Torrey Krug. You lost Chara. Those are your backbone. Like, I don't know. If I was a Bruins fan, I would be upset right now.
Well, this is a big year for Charlie McAvoy. It's a chance for him to take over the D-core. It's his team now. It's his back end, for sure. No questions about it. So it's interesting to see like what he's going to do. Can he take that next step? I said during the playoffs last year, and you can laugh if you want, but he reminded me of a young Doughty. Like the way he was playing, he was more physical. He's mean. He's great with the puck. He makes good passes. So if he can turn this into like, hey guys, get on my back because this is my defense now. That said, that's not enough.
I agree. He's a good player. But when you're game planning against the Bruins and you look at that roster last year in the playoffs, you go, okay, we're going to key on Krug. Because I know when I was in the league and we were in the playoffs, it's like, okay, we're playing Vancouver. We got to key on this guy. We're going to go after whoever it may be, Oland or Ballard or whoever it was. And you key on their top guy. McAvoy was not their top guy. Now he's their top guy. He's going to get buried every single game. So, I don't know. He's a good defenseman. I like him a lot. And he's a solid player. He plays the body. I like the way he plays. So, we'll see. I think this is a huge step back for Boston.
One thing I can say for this team, though, some good news that came out of all this is that Patrice Bergeron officially today is wearing the center on his jersey, which is pretty cool. I mean, he's a center now.
Okay.
The captain.
Okay.
Captain. And it's if you would guess, like, you know, 10 years ago, would it have taken 10 years for him to finally get the C? No. No one knew Char was going to be around this long, but it's really good for him to finally get his due, and he looks really good with the C on his jersey for sure.
Yeah, that was the no-brainer, but how much longer is he going to play for?
He's not that old.
No, no, no. He's what, 33? 35?
Is he 35?
He's 35, so how much longer is he going to kick around for? Are you just going to have to name a new captain in a few years? I don't know. They don't really have any young, exciting players who they could have given it to. That's the problem.
Pasta.
There's no young guy who they can just throw the C on and be like, you know what?
Pasta.
He's not young.
Yes, he is. He's like 23.
Is he really? He was born in 96, so yes, he has. Why not give it to Pasternak? I don't know. I would have
Bergeron talked, is a.
No, I know he's the easy pick. I would have probably talked to Bergeron and say, "Hey, listen, you're going to be the leader of this team. Pasternak's going to be the leader in 3 years. I'm going to give it to him. You're the real captain in my eyes." So I don't know. Moving on.
Does that stuff happen?
Oh, without a doubt. Well, I did it in San Jose when I was there, and Jumbo was the captain. They said,
"But that was a weird. That was a weird exception, though."
They still did it. It's not weird. They did it with Stamkos. They did it with Johnny Taves. They've done it with all these young. Who's the captain in Toronto? Tavares?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't give it to Matthews, actually.
I know.
But anyways, so how crazy is it that Washington went out with arguably their two biggest rivals and ripped the heart out of both of their teams with taking Lundqvist and Chara?
Yep.
Like, literally did a Mortal Kombat finishing move and ripped the hearts out of both their teams. How shrewd is that? Love it.
Yeah. It's hard to process. I feel like I still haven't processed it. You know, but the Bruins.
How crazy would it have been opening night if Washington had Lundqvist in the lineup? They have Lundqvist and Chara in a Washington jersey starting the season. That would have been so crazy.
And the craziest thing too is in all this is that the Bruins, and they didn't know this when they let Krug go, but they're in such an impossibly harder division right now.
Yeah.
They're the odd man out because right, you got Bruins, Pittsburgh, Washington, Philly, New York Rangers.
New York Islanders.
And Islanders.
Like, two of those
teams are missing the playoffs. Maybe
Buffalo
three of those.
Buffalo Sabres. New Jersey Devils are the redheaded stepchild, but even the Sabres will be good.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good teams in that division. So I don't think Boston makes the playoffs. I think Boston area as a whole, it's time for them to have a recession. The Patriots are going to suck for a long time. The Red Sox are, who knows where they're going. Not anywhere good. The Celtics maybe will be their only shining hope. Because the Bruins, I don't see anything. Do you see anything there to be excited about?
No. That top line is still the best line in hockey.
That's a strong statement to say they're the best line in hockey. I would say top five. They're a good line, but lines don't win championships in hockey. This isn't basketball. You can't just throw out LeBron and say, go score that ball, LeBron. Give it to Anthony Davis. Win me a championship.
How about D pairs? I was thinking about this the other day. Are there any, like, who's the best D pair in the league, do you think? There's no, like, one obvious stud pairing.
Well, I would say Columbus, Werenski, and Seth Jones.
That's a good one.
That's my number one. I think that's got to be number one.
Hedman and Sergachev are up there.
Yep.
Hamilton and Slavin.
There's some clear-cut ones that are, you know, really, really good. And even now in Vegas, you put Theodore and Pietrangelo together.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
So then you go to St. Louis, you could put Krug and
Pareko.
Yeah, or the other guy they have there, I'm drawing a blank.
Vince Dunn?
No, he was in Carolina. They traded him there.
I don't know. Blank.
It'll come to us. But yeah, there's some good pairings. But I think the Columbus pairing is Beth Jones and Werenski. Blue Wire Hustle. It's a brand new program where you can host your own podcast at Blue Wire. You can be just like me. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Now, it might not get to dropping the gloves level. It might be better. I don't know. Now, here's your chance. As a part of the program, you receive a personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. So many tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher. I don't even know what Stitcher is, but we will get your stuff pushed out there. And the best part is, it's only $15 a month. We pay $15 a month for Blue Wire to do this. So you're going to get the same deal as I do. It's unbelievable. So whether you're just starting from scratch or you have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to level up your sports experience. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/bluewire. Acceptance is limited. They're not just going to take everybody. So you got to have a good idea or a good podcast. So get in there. Check out the description box to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join. Anyways, moving on. Speaking of Columbus, we were pumping this guy's tires all playoffs, talking about how good he was, and then he demands a trade. Dubois, what is going on in Columbus? I know you have some connections in Columbus. You're very, very connected to them and their media guys and everything. Can you tell me what's happening? Why did he request the trade?
Do you think it has something to do with the coach?
Oh, without a doubt. Ding, 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 ding.
Do you think that's it?
Yeah. He doesn't want to play Tortorella style. Without a doubt. Well, I think that is, without a doubt, exactly what happened. He's sick of blocking shots. And then, well, maybe he just didn't like the way the negotiations went either, because he was a RFA. He didn't really like how it went.
Yeah.
And maybe he felt he got slighted. But that's strange to sign a contract and then demand a trade right away.
It is. And no one really knew how good he was until the playoffs happened in the bubble. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was the real deal.
He's a solid player. If they do trade him, which in my mind, they would be crazy to trade him, you need to get a haul for this guy. He's a 22, 23-year-old franchise centerman.
You think he's that good?
Oh, he's a filthy player. He plays both ends of the ice. You can see what he does in crunch time. Like, he takes over games.
How about Montreal? What if they go after him?
They can't. They've been spending out the wazoo. They have too many forwards as it is.
Yeah, like, but not,
they
no good
up Corey Perry.
Yeah.
And it's like they have like legit 14 NHL forwards who are everyday players last year. And they can't play 14 forwards. You can only play 12. So I don't know. There will be some teams making some calls on Dubois. They're going to want a couple first-rounders for him.
How about Ottawa?
Ottawa. They have the capital. They have
Ottawa's not going to give up first. Those are going to be lottery picks.
I know. It'll be very interesting because that GM even said we don't want guys here who don't want to be here. So from the sounds of it, they are shopping him, and it is a very, very fluid situation. So that is interesting. I don't know the last time a guy of his caliber, of his age, who is still under control for a reasonable contract for a few years, hits the market. It's very interesting. So we'll see what happens with that. We'll keep our eyes peeled. If I was Pierre-Marc Dubois, I would just – where would you want to go if you're him?
Young player. You assume he wants to go to a good team, right?
I tell you what, if I'm the Chicago Blackhawks, I'm on the phone right now.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Get me.
Oh, they need centers. Taze and Doc are both out. You're right.
I know.
John Scott for commissioner, for GM.
I'm not just in this for fun, Tim. I know what I'm doing here. If I'm Bowman, I'm on the phone right now. You know Chicago's first rounder is going to be decent. I'm offering him a first rounder and maybe DeBrincat.
No.
Yep, without a doubt. That's my offer.
Come on, because they already have their franchise centerman. He's just hurt for a few months, but.
Yeah, so. Imagine getting Kirby Doc. You get Dubois. You still had Taser. How is that for a center? 1, 2, 3. Not bad.
Yeah, but then you got nothing on the wings. Kane and
Kubelik and
Strom. Strom's their center.
So you can move one of those guys to wing. Strom can play wing. I don't know. I would be on the horn right now if I was Stan Bowman, but who knows? I don't want to chirp him. He's got a good head of hair on him. All right, moving on. So we tried to guess what Toronto's lines were going to be, right?
Yep, we did.
So I had Jumbo playing on the fourth line. I think you had him on the third.
Yeah,
third line. I had him with Bessie and Robertson, the young kid. He is starting off. First line. Do you think this is just like a Keefe saying, here you go. Like, just let's stir up some controversy. We're not going to really do this. We're going to put Hedman or Hyman back there. Why is he on the first line? He can't keep up with them.
Yeah. You see his statement? He's like, I feel like I'm 25 again.
Yeah. And he's still older than all those guys if he's 25. Like, I don't see this lasting. I love Jumbo. I was just texting with him earlier today, like literally before we jumped on this podcast, we were texting. He's too old to be with those guys. And it's not a slight. It's just a matter of fact. Age don't lie, baby. You know, Father Time, he doesn't discriminate. Joel Thornton is old for the NHL. He can't keep up. He's lost a step. It's just a matter of fact. If there's a race between Matthews and Marner and Jumbo, Jumbo's a zone behind him. If you want to put those thoroughbreds on the ice, you want someone who can keep up. You want someone who can beat them into the zone and go and dig out a puck. I don't see that being Joe Thornton. I see that being a very big problem with that line right now. You had Hyman who can go in and blow up a defenseman. He can go to the net. He can get them the puck. Jumbo's a guy who comes into the play a little bit later. He maybe comes down the wing. He has the puck. He likes to play it slow. I don't see that being their game. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. They're so talented. You never know. Could it work out? I hope it does. That'd be great to see. But, man, that was a show. What do you think? I don't know. Am I totally off base here?
No, I don't think it's a permanent thing. I think, one, he's probably just trying to instill a little excitement at camp and in the boys, and I'm sure they all loved it. I'm sure Matthews and Marner for a few days have loved playing with him. But, yeah, in a long season, there's no way he sticks on the first line. And I think it's a fun thing that he's doing. And probably, obviously, as we said, since the day he signed there, they want him, his leadership and work ethic to rub off on their younger players. That's been an issue for sure. So I'm not reading too much into this, though.
Do you think he's just trying to light a fire under Hyman?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, Hyman's a good player, though. I don't know if he's someone that needs a fire lit under him.
Yeah, I know. I was just – I don't know why. I doubt it. Hyman doesn't need a flyer. You're right. But anyways, okay. Moving on. So we also were guessing who's going to be the captain of the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah.
I think we nailed it. We said Spurgeon, right?
He was one of them. Yeah. Yeah.
I know, not a big story, but good for him.
He's a good player. He puts up double-digit goals every year.
Minnesota's going to be irrelevant this year, but I think that's good. I think it's a good safe pick. It's strange he didn't give it to Sutter or Parisi. I will say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Suter.
Yeah.
What a stupid thing. Like Suter and Sutter.
He just makes all the difference.
Drives me nuts. It honestly drives me nuts. So Sutter.
Suter.
Suter is the guy in Minnesota. And Sutter is the coach. Daryl Sutter.
Of the Kings.
Of the Kings. Anyways, not really huge news, but yeah. Spurgeon got the captaincy.
We landed on the moon.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Anyways, moving on. The draft was fun. You got anything else, Tim?
Yeah, I want to talk. I want to hear your opinion on this thing. We haven't really talked about it. The NHL sold the names of the divisions, and they're saying it's just for this year, but it doesn't really seem that way. What are your thoughts on all this?
I told you it was going to happen. I told you it's going to start with the helmets and it's going to move on to bigger things. To sell the names, the divisions. It's crazy. Like Gary could have had a good time with this and made really fun division names and like really embraced the whole idea of these really once in a lifetime opportunity with this pandemic, but he just sold a Scotiabank, Bridgestone. Like he's selling out, baby. You know, it is what it is. It doesn't surprise me one bit. It doesn't surprise me at all.
I'm not excited about it, but the general kind of sentiment online is basically like, hey, if this is what it takes to have a season this year and avoid like a lockout or whatever to get the cash that they need, then fine, whatever. It's not a big deal. So
you think it's not going to happen next year?
I don't know. I'm dealing with it right now though.
I know. I just always think long-term when it comes to this. It's like, okay, I understand they need to get revenue for this year. That's obvious. Everybody needs to make money. What happens next year when everything opens up again? Do you just all of a sudden turn down that $1 million that, you know, Bridgestone is paying you for that right to name that division? Do you think Bettman's going to say, you know what? No, we're going back to Central. There's no way.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the helmets. You think who's got Prudential? The Devils is going to say no to Prudential for the ads on their helmets in 3 years when Prudential's like, hey, we'll give you $500,000.
The Bruins already have TD on there.
Yeah. I think like 17 to 20 teams already have ads on their helmets. And I bet you those companies are giving them $1 million, if not more. You think the teams are going to be like, no, we're not going to take that money for a little sticker on our helmets. We want our little sticker for our logo. Like, you know, that money could pay for a player's salary for an owner. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then where does it end? I just think it's the tip of the iceberg. I honestly do. I think there's going to be ads on the pants. There's going to be ads like, I don't know. There's going to be ads everywhere you can see them. I hope it doesn't go to the European route, but I do think it's coming. If it's a flat cap next year and they're still having a hard time raising money, and then it's not going to end. I don't know. If they're getting creative enough to sell off the names of the divisions, the sky's the limits for this kind of stuff. You're a marketing guy. You can probably think of a million things you can slap a name on to sell. You know?
Yep.
The halftime show, they're going to, you know, or player interview between, you know, I don't know.
They already do that,
though. Hot dog and say it's a Oscar Mayer Wiener intermission. And he gets interviewed with the wiener in his face. The hot dog mic or something. I don't know.
I think you got a future career in marketing as well, John.
Spitballing ideas. I don't blame them, but again, it's a slippery slope. It's one of those things where it's like you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile if it's Gary Bettman. I think he's proven that throughout his career as being the commissioner. That guy is ruthless, and he does whatever it takes to make money for the owners. Yeah. Cutthroat, baby. You know, he doesn't care about the players one iota, not one iota. He would do anything he can to give the owners another drop of our blood. Guy's a serpent. He's a snake. I'm gonna get in trouble for that last one. But anyways, anything else?
No, I'm pumped about fantasy. I got a message already that you have a trade offer
already
sent your way. Yeah.
Who? Open it up. What's your
I can't
offer?
See it. I can't. No, I didn't send it. Someone told me that they offered you a deal. So you
they offered me a trade already.
Check your team.
All right, hold on. So here's the funny thing about this draft. I was like so paranoid that I didn't have any goalies. So I went back-to-back goalies, and then I forgot I had Connor Hellebuyck on my bench, and I drafted him like in the second round. So I went back-to-back with Braden Holtby and Tristan Jarry. And I was like, sweet, I got my team all. Okay, where do I go for trades, Tim? Riley's squad has proposed a trade for you.
Very exciting.
He wants to trade Dubois. He wants to give me Dubois.
Oh,
for Mark Scheifele. What, do you take that trade?
No.
Dubois for Scheifele.
No. No, no, no.
Why do you trade so early in the game? It's very strange.
I was thinking for a second that we were live. I'm like, has he been listening and he knows that John likes Dubois? But we're not. It's not live. I don't know.
So Riley, let's talk about the owners of this fantasy league. So we did introductions. It's like the most interesting group I've ever been in.
I know. It's crazy.
There's a priest. There's a guy who works for the CIA.
Yep.
Is there a doctor or a lawyer or something? Yeah,
there's a doctor. I think he's a ER doctor.
It's insane how many like different jobs there are. An engineer. There's a Tim. There's
whatever Tim does.
A couple of guys from Pittsburgh. There's a kid from Traverse City, apparently. It's a ragtag group. You know what we should try to do? We should try to get a group Zoom call. Or maybe like when the meet somewhere and hang out. That'd be fun.
You would hate that.
Jeez, yeah, I know. Why wouldn't go? But you could go and you could tell me about it. Try to get everybody to go to Traverse City. I don't know. It's going to be fun though. I'm going to look over this trade here.
Can't do that. Is this just straight up?
Straight up. Pierre-Luc Dubois. I'll keep you posted. I like wheeling and dealing. I don't like just drafting a team and not doing anything. I love trades.
Me too.
But I haven't even had a chance to, you know, break Scheifele in. I just got him. He's like the new toy. I haven't even unwrapped him.
That's going to shake up your dressing room and make a move like that already.
I know. I'm going to tell everyone my team right now. Or she will post it. We'll post it up on Twitter. We'll see who has a better team. The fans can decide.
Love that.
My goalies are on. Tim was debating whether to draft Lehner and Fleury for his team. He already had Lehner. He's like, should I draft Fleury? Just have both goalies from Vegas? I'm like, Tim.
Why are you saying it like that?
Because it's a bad idea. It's a terrible idea. Even I knew it wasn't. It's a
guaranteed start every night.
They don't play every night. They play like 3 games a week. Yeah. You're going to only play 3 games a week?
They play 4 or 5.
I have Hellebuyck, Holtby, and Tristan Jarry. Oh, murderer's row of goalies. I tell you what, how many shutouts am I going to get? All right, everybody. It's time, Tim. This was fun. I feel like I've missed this all week. You've been doing your fancy-pantsy little other ones, and I just get this one little episode on a Friday.
Yeah, sorry for your vacation.
Vacation, stop. I've been chomping at the bit to get out the mic, baby. I love doing this. Love talking to you. Being in touch with the fans, the people. Well, we're going to get an interview next week. I think we'll get Ray Bourque on the show.
Yeah, let's do that.
And we will see everybody. Hope everyone has a good weekend. Try not to burn the country down. My goodness. It's getting wild out there.
It's crazy.
Who knows what's going to happen next? I heard Trump's going to – there's going to be a coup.
A coup.
Trump's getting the
coup. Yeah, Trump's got a bunch of chickens.
That's funny. He's going to coup it up, baby. I don't know.
Join the Marine Corps.
All right. Enough laughing at Mike. I did draft Jake Gardner.
You sure did.
I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of my word. I did get Gardner. He's on my team.
He was -24 last year.
Not this year.
And he put up 24 points. He came out even. All right.
He started in 1% of the leagues. I wonder what percent that is.
The first
you're listening to him, everybody. Jake Gardner is my starting four with Tyson Berry, who I chirped relentlessly last year, Neil Pionk, and Shea Weber. And I got Ryan Graves on the bench.
Oh. I love my defense. John Carlson, Shea Theodore, Adam Fox, John Klingberg, and Matthias Ekholm.
That's a good starting five.
Oh, yeah. Yum, yum.
I think three of your top five are better than any of my five. I think.
It's a good group. I'm pumped about it.
Yeah, we'll see. You don't have Steven Stamkos.
You don't have Jack Eichel.
You don't have... I don't have anybody else. My team's – I don't like my team. I hate it already. I have good goalies. That's about it.
You got to trade them. Get a big package.
I got to make some moves. I got to make some moves. All right. I'm going to go start offering trades, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend, and cheers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at @dropping_gloves for episode highlights, behind the scenes content, sneak peeks, and giveaways. Check out johnscottallstar.com/shop for merchandise, including t-shirts, hats, hoodies, and so much more. And please, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It's so important to helping us grow so we can keep delivering the hockey content and interviews with the players you love. Thanks, and see you next time.